Professional Weirdo Podcast again, and yet again, I'm making another build, waiting for a build. So trying to be productive in my downtime, because when you're building your application, your game in Unity, it's like very intensive, and I don't know. It might not do anything, but like I don't want to use my computer much, because I'm like, it might ruin my build. The game might crash more than it's already crashing. So recording a podcast doesn't seem like it's too much trouble. But, yeah, going through the ups and downs of a project. This one's wrapping up. I've moved the release date, I think, 3 times now. And mostly out of caution and kind of experience, knowing that the end of projects always takes longer. I think there's a saying that, like, the last 20% of a project takes 80% of the time or something like that. It is something. Yeah, there's things that come up. Things that end up taking a long time. I think I said it before in this podcast, but when you're naming files, never name stuff final, because that's like, then you'll be like final 2, final, then you have like final 27, then you have like seriously final, really final, ultimate final 82. So I'm not doing that. When I looked at the number of builds I had uploaded to Steam, so I'm making almost daily updates based on feedback from the testers and stuff like that. I think I've probably done now about 30 build updates, 30 updates to it in like 16 days or something. So it's just like put up a build, something doesn't work. You get, you know, from one of the testers, you find something that doesn't work. Something doesn't make sense to them. And then you think about it and you're like, yeah, that does not make sense. Let me change that. Put a new build, feedback build, you know, it's this loop. So I'm on beta 2.6.1 now, so I'm not doing the final thing. They're all betas, and I started an alpha before I went beta, of course, but things are starting to smooth out. There were some kind of majory big bugs, mostly these out of memory errors that were happening when you would load in audio files and stuff like that you don't want. There's still some crashes, but I think it has to do with people's PCs being lower than the recommended specifications. So I did try to do some optimizations to lower the memory requirements, stuff like that. And I do, we'll do a little more, but you know, of course you prioritize the major bugs over the small ones. But yeah, things are starting to stabilize. So I'm going to add some more little minor, not features, but in Nightmare Puppeteer, you put together actors and they have a head, a body, hair, teeth, eyes, props, whatever. So I'm going to add more props. These would just be assets. So it's just adding more 3D models. So you can't break anything with 3D models. So yeah, but I'm not adding any more features or trying to change the code anymore unless I'm fixing things. So it's supposed to be released in roughly 3 weeks. So yeah. But let me check the Discord, see if there's any questions in there. There might be something. Scar Muse asks, what other types of art forms besides animation or games do you like or are interesting to you? I like manga, so Japanese comic books. That's probably the thing I read or spend the most time outside of work. I have a nice little a collection, me and my wife, like we put our, you know, stuff together. So if I'm just like chilling out or not working or whatever, I'll just go and reread some manga that I read before, like Osamu Tezuka stuff, Berserk. I always forget his name. Is it Tatsumi Yoshihiro? He wrote The Pushman. If you look up The Pushman and other stories, my friend, the actor Ricky Grove, turned me on to him. He's working at a bookstore, so he used to send me boxes of books all the time, which was awesome if you love books. He's like the best friend for somebody who likes books. And he sent me one of them, and then I bought all the rest of them. And I think I talked about this already. I even bought his 1,000-page manga, An Animated Life? No, what's it called? Something Life, but it's his life story as a manga. I really like that guy's stuff. But so manga... Outside of that, music, I listen to old music, some new music, but I mean, I listen to a lot of classical music and like metal, I guess, and different electronic stuff, but art forms. I mean, when I was doing my second animated feature film, Heartstring Marionette, because part of the story and the lore of it had to do with the Japanese art form of no, N-O-H, and a little bit about Kabuki too. So I read a bunch of books about that, and actually went to Japan, went to a Kabuki performance there. I didn't go to a no performance. We did go to the no museum and get a little lesson in how to play no instruments. But that was interesting. But I kind of just, you research it, you get what you can take from it. And like, I'm not going to go do that, right? So it's just like, okay, then you step back. You take what you can take from it to help you on your path and you go forward. So, but the thing that inspires me the most and probably always has is nature. Like when I was a kid, I was fascinated with dragonflies, frogs, snakes, lizards, fucking giant water bugs, praying mantises. I had all these different pets. I had all those things as pets. And just studying those, and I still do, like just as an amateur, like yesterday I was watching a red-tailed hawk in our backyard up in the tree. And it like, every time they come in the yard, I watch them and you can tell because it gets quiet, right? The animals know. Sometimes the squirrels go like, make like their alarm sound. And then it just like jumped up. It's so cool to watch like raptors fly. Like they're so graceful. It just like went up and then just like dove into this other tree. And then there was like a, like, you know, rustling. And then it fucking like flew away with some animal. And I couldn't tell what it was. And then it went like across street and like landed on a house. And I got these little binoculars and I was watching it. Cause you know, when they get stuff, they like stand on them for a while. I don't know if they're suffocating them or crushing them. I know the great horned owl, this was a hawk, not an owl, but it has like insane grip strength in its talons. So it fucking like crushes the spine or crushes the body of whatever it's catching, like when it grabs it. But I don't think hawks are that powerful, but against, you know, a small rodent or a bird, definitely enough to kill those. And then I was watching it and it flew away. I saw like the long, thin tail of a rat. So there was a rat in the tree in the daytime, maybe nesting or whatever, because it was like in a mass of the tree. And they grabbed him and took off, whatever. So I watched the hawks. There's peregrine falcons. I watched those. Of course, insects. I'm always looking for like new insects. Last year, my big excitement was I found an assassin bug for the first time where I live. I had never found those around here. So yeah, nature is the most inspiring thing to me. We have a bunch of jumping spiders. I think they're bold jumping spiders or daring. I don't remember. But we have like four different kind. But the ones I'm talking about are like these big ones. And they're really smart. Like they turn and look at you when they see you. And I'm pretty sure they have the best vision out of all spiders. So those dudes are interesting to watch. Watch them catch stuff, pounce on things, and fight each other. Try to eat each other. They're cannibalistic. I saw an antlion flying around the other day, and I found antlion pits here before. But yeah, I'm just into insects and nature. I mean, all facets of nature, trees, the flora and the fauna, the weather. Like we had some crazy fucking thunderstorms last week here, like at 6 a.m, you know, shaking the whole house and like lightning going across skies. That's inspiring to me. And in my head, because when Beethoven died, they say that there was like thunder outside. And he like raised his fist or his arm, or it raised his arm like he was raising it to the thunder, and then it just fell and he died. So to me, Beethoven is thunder. And then since Nikola Tesla, you know, what he did with electricity and for our world and electric, like everything, he built this whole fucking world. I'm convinced that he's lightning. So I'm like, oh, Tesla and Beethoven, you know. But our animation and games, I'm not into games. Like, I don't play games. Like I was talking about in the other podcast, I think games are interesting as a medium. And I think there's more creativity and more interesting stuff in video games than there is in animation. But I'm not really into them. I don't play them a bunch because I'm working all the time. So I don't have time to play them. Like I said before, I have like 4 or 5 games in my Steam library. And I might just like play one for 10 minutes after work, whatever. But I used to play a lot of games, but I wish I could. I'm just so picky. I can't find anything I like because you know, when you're doing work that you enjoy and you have a lot of stuff to do, and then when you go to play a game or watch a movie or do anything else, you know, you're choosing. You're like, why should I watch or play or do this thing instead of doing my work? I like my work. My work is exciting. It's interesting. Is this more exciting or interesting to me than my work? And usually the answer is no. So I don't participate in it a lot. Those manga I was talking about, yeah, they are interesting. Oh, Monster. I reread Monster. I have the whole, actually, my friend Ricky, the actor from the bookstore, gave me the whole collection of Monster. So I have that whole, so I'll reread that. But the other question here, Mankey asked, can you tell us about your trip to Japan where you watch no theater and all that? So I said something about that before. So I think I've been to Japan 5 times now. Those are separate trips. So I didn't watch a no performance. We went to this no museum in the city. This was the last time I went, and that was for my brother-in-law's birthday present. Because he graduated from high school, like top of his class, and his dad had died just a year before, whatever. So I took him on this trip. Me and my wife took him as a gift because I figured my father-in-law would have wanted to do something like that for him, to reward him or something cool. So, you know, I tried to do something like that. So, yeah, we went to that museum. I think it was in Kanazawa, but I'm probably wrong. We went to so many different places, I don't remember. But that trip, what, we were there for 3 weeks, I think. Yeah, and my wife planned it. So I was working before then. So, you know, she planned everything and I just kind of went along with it and ate food and drank beer and had a good time. So the best part of it, I would say, was we stayed in this little tiny village. It's a UNESCO heritage site, so they can't change it, so they can't build fucking strip malls and put all that shit in there. So it's the old houses, like farmhouses with a thatched roof. So like it's all natural, right? So all these little houses, there's little rivers that run through the town that fish are in. It's really fucking cool. Everybody grows has like rice paddies in the front of their house, so it's a big pond, you know, if you see how those grow. And there was frogs all in the water and newts and all kinds of weird insects and cool stuff. And it was just very quiet. And then at night, there was just like a million frogs. And we slept with like the door open. We stayed in a ryokan. I mean, there's no hotels there, like modern ones. It's all old. So we slept in an old farmhouse, which was, yeah, it was awesome. And then, yeah, we slept with the doors open, so there was just a million frogs. The only thing that could have made it better is if there was fireflies. I've never seen fireflies in real life. That's something I like to see. But yeah, then there was another family staying there. And it was funny because we just started talking to the other family. The man, I was talking to him and we're just talking about different things. And I don't know how like cryptocurrency came up. And then I was saying something about, yeah, it's going to replace the banks and everything else, blah, blah, blah. And I started talking to him. He's like, well, I'm a banker. So I didn't like, I'm not, I didn't, oh, I wasn't like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? But they were really nice and, you know, kind of talked to them, had dinners. What else can I say about that trip? I don't know. It's just every time I go there, it reflects on how big of a shithole America is. You know, so like we call ourselves the first world country, and everybody here who's never been anywhere else is like, we're the best because everyone wants to come here because it's so great, because everyone wants to be like us. And it's like, dude, no, we're just the fucking retards that like these other places that are better and have it fucking better and nicer and whatever. They're just like, yes, retard, yes, yes, you're the best, you're the champ, yes, you're the big man, yes. And you might say, but they want our money and do. Sure, whatever. Okay. But yeah, I just like I just enjoy the design there. Like how well designed everything is. Like, and again, I don't have a car, so I like walking and taking public transit, and there the fucking trains are awesome. The walking is awesome. And it's just kind of hard to describe. Like when you're in a place with good design, like walking around a city where intuitively you know where to go and things like you want to be there because it's nice, because there's a river running on the side of you and there's trees and it's cool. You want to be there. And when it's designed well, it makes you feel like whoever designed it wants you to be there. It's like friendly to humans. It's like human friendly. Whereas here, and I know there's a guy, I don't remember his name, but he wrote a book about why no one wants to be anywhere in America. Everything's ugly, fucking strip malls. And he was saying, like, it's because they build things here. They build places here where no one wants to be. It's like, you know, find some random strip mall in your town, then go across the street and be like, do you want to stand right there? Like, no, you want to get the fuck out of there. It's terrible. There's a bunch of cars and there's no space and it's just cement. Like, you don't want to be there. It's ugly. So yeah, when I'm there, I'm just like, this is cool. I like being here. And you know, I'm not a delusional weeaboo where I'm just like, Japan's amazing. You don't even have to work a job. You're just there. And then like hot Japanese women with giant tits will just be your girlfriend because you're just so cool because you're a foreigner and you'll just eat ramen all day and watch anime. Like, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way the place runs, like the design, the infrastructure, shit just makes sense. It's nice. It's fucking safe. So that's most of what I enjoy. Like, of course, the food and all that stuff too is cool, but I'm not like a foodie person. I'm not like, food. Like, for me, food, I just eat food to survive. So I'm not like into that. So I appreciate it, of course, being able to eat all that good food. But yeah, I'm more into just the design of stuff. And like, I remember my second trip to Japan, I stayed at my friend's house. She's Japanese and with her and her mom. And I remember like going in their bathroom, and I've never seen this anywhere else, but it made so much sense. When you flush the toilet, the top of the toilet had a sink basin, like a little tiny sink basin. So when you flush the toilet, before the water went like back into the toilet to flush it, it came out of a little spout on the top and had a mini sink. So then when you flush the toilet, you could wash your hands without having to touch anything before that. You didn't have to touch a sink faucet. You didn't have to touch, you know, and I was like, well, that makes so much fucking sense. I've never seen that anywhere else. But yeah, so the trip. Well, that was a good trip. That was so we went in 2018, I think, 19? 18. Summer of 2018. And then before that, I hadn't been there since 2008. And then before that, it was like 2005, four. And then before that, 2001, something like that. And then maybe I've been there four times. I don't know. But yeah, it was a good trip. I don't know what else you want to know about it, but what else did we do? Yeah, but every time I go on a trip, after about 2 weeks, if I'm not working, I just start getting angry and going nuts. Like, it doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing, unless I'm like drinking a bunch, which I didn't on that trip. I realized when I came back, I was like, I should have drank more. Because it happens everywhere I've been. No matter how awesome the place is and whatever I'm doing, like after 2 weeks, if I'm not working regularly, I just start getting angry and fucking like going nuts. So, yeah, next time I told my wife, whatever, I'm like, yeah, next trip, I just need to drink more. So then I don't get all fucking like, what am I doing? I'm like, fuck this place. Ah. So, but yeah, on the trip back, we flew from Narita to LAX, and it was serious. I said this shit before, but it's fucking true. We felt like we went 50 years in the past, because Japan, everything is clean. Everything is nice. There's no fucking trash. There's no dirt. Like, it's well designed. It's not fucking hodgepodge taped together fucking with signs that say this is broken another way, blah, blah, blah. And then we go to LAX, and then there's literally like fucking plywood, like walkways and hella trash, and it's dirty. And then if you've ever been to LAX and you want to move from terminal to terminal, unless you take a bus, like they don't have a tram or anything like that, you fucking walk outside the airport, like on these shitty, like broken walkways with plywood and fucked up cement with cars and exhaust, and it's really loud and people are going both ways. You're bumping into people and like you're trying to carry your bag and going up and off curve. It's just so dumb. And then, yeah, you go to a real fucking first world airport and it's just like, la, 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 la. Like, it's so easy and everything makes sense and it's nice and peaceful. But, yeah, so my wife wants to end up in Japan. So maybe we will. I don't know. There or Luxembourg. Most likely because America, man, shit. I mean, it wasn't bad when I grew up in the 80s. It wasn't bad. And, you know, I'm not going to be the old man and be like, everything, but it's just fucking retarded now. It just keeps getting worse and worse, like everything. Like when I grew up, there wasn't fucking homeless camps everywhere, but now there is. There wasn't mentally ill people fucking screaming on the street, fucking stabbing people or, you know, storing up, hoarding garbage everywhere like there is now. Anyway, that's depressing. I won't talk about that. But what I will talk about is I'm also making a new musical album at the same time right now, which I'll probably do another track right now. So if you want to check that out, just go to m.strange.bandcamp.com. And it's called Songs of Fear and Despair. So it's a take on Depeche Mode's Songs of Faith and Devotion. So in America right now, fear and despair. So I'll probably be using some of that music in the intros and outros for the podcast. But so I'm just doing Nightmare Puppeteer, Devin, and doing music and whatever else. So yeah, this is probably long enough of a podcast. 20 minutes, okay. Since I'm working all the time, I don't have time to think about stuff I'm going to talk about. So if you have questions or topics, please post them in the Discord for this thing and or leave me a voice message and I will answer them in the next podcast. So yeah, thanks for listening and until next time, goodbye. Raise the flag and burn it down. Yeah. Let that shit deny your motherfucker.